leader or one speaker to another, always trying to pull the people in. But the people will come in if we just give them the word and stick to the basics. If you will go with me to the, I'm going to look at two scriptures today. If you would go with me to the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, 13 through 18. And when you have it, if you would stand for the reading of Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Now go with me to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and we're going to look at verses 31 through 34, 54 to Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 31 through 34. "Simon, Simon, Satan asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brethren." But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." Now let's go to verses 54. "Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. And a servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, 'This man was with him.' But he denied it. 'Woman, I don't know him,' he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You are one of them.' 'Man, I am not,' Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, 'Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galatian.' Peter replied, 'Man, I don't know what you're talking about.' Just as he was speaking, crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. 'Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times.' And he went outside and wept." You may be seated. Father God, we thank you for what you've already done in this place. Asking that as the prayer was made, it would be none of my thought. You would move in a mighty way so that we, my title for today is God's tool. And as we know, a tool is a device or implement, especially one held in the hand, used to carry out a particular. Now, why am I using that title? Because the subtitle that I have been tasked to speak about is, why did God allow him to become the God of this world? And I would say to you, as was said by the German theologian Martin Luther, that Satan is God's devil, meaning God owns him and he does what God wants. There is a plan. And there is a purpose. God and Satan are both involved in our temptations and our. We must understand their separate purposes. Even though they're involved, they each have their own purpose for why they're involved. We must distinguish between what God wants and what Satan wants. And before I go any further, we need to understand that we need not be afraid of Satan if we relationship with God, because he has given us every tool that we need to win these spiritual battles. God ultimately has a benevolent purpose in every act. The devil's aim always, of course, is to destroy. God's aim is to build, to develop, to bring us to maturity in Jesus Christ so that we conform to Christ's image. As was stated this morning, the enemy, the devil, that old serpent, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. God is seeking to bring about holiness in us. God is seeking to bring about reconciliation in us, reconciling ourselves to him over and over again as we get out of relationship with him, and also reconciling us with others, our brothers and sisters that was talked about this morning. That's his job. But Satan's purpose is to come right down, plow right down the middle of the road and destroy everything that God is trying to put together. What do we have to do? We have to understand that this is a spiritual war. You can't fight it with rocks. You can't sing to it. You can't take a leave of absence from it.
My Lord.
You can't take off your warring garments. You can't decide that you don't want to fight today. Because whether you want to fight today or not, the devil came out to fight today, him and his entire army. So now let's just look at this. Satan thought he got something over on God in the Garden of Eden. But see, that was the trick on him. In the Garden of Eden, he thought he had destroyed this perfect relationship that God had with Adam and Eve. But what we have to understand is God has absolute sovereignty in his universe. Let's remember that. Somewhere along the line, we forgot that this was God's universe. And somewhere along the line, we think that the devil has come in while God was sleeping and has taken over or gotten an advantage. But this is God's universe. This means that even evil is part of his larger plan. Now, I'm not saying that God is evil or he brings about evil because he's a holy God. But if he's a creator God, and that the word says nothing was made that was not made yes. by him, then the one who's causing us problems was made by him. And so if he was made by him,
come on, yes.
If you look at the word, the only one that is omni anything is God.
Uh-huh.
The word omni is never used about Satan.
That's
he's
right.
not omnipresent. He's nope. not omnipotent. He's not omniscient.
Come on.
He is just Lucifer and now Satan.
Yeah.
He can't be in every place right. at the same
right.
time. He can't know everything. He might know that you're about to do something crazy, but he doesn't know the end of it until he actually sees you do it.
That's right.
So he doesn't know what's going on, but God does. So think about it this way. If God is all-knowing, then there's nothing new that he has to learn. God learns nothing new. Even before the foundation of the world, he knew that in making Lucifer, Lucifer was going to have a change of heart.
Yes, he did.
He knew it. And so long before any of this happened, there was a war council and there was a plan put in place between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
And so God is not taken by surprise. There's nothing new under the sun to God. It was already written out in a plan. And so this. And listen, God chooses. We think Satan chooses the battles. It was said this morning, God chooses the battles. And God is so cunning that he makes Satan think it's his idea. God is up in heaven. The sons of God come up and they have a little war council. And he specifically goes over to Satan, what have you been doing? And Satan says, I've been going to and fro and walking up and down. And all of a sudden, the Lord decides there's a battle now for Job. I'm going to pick this battle. Yeah. What do you think about Job? Out of the clear blue sky, Job's name comes up. And the devil bites the bait. And the Lord says, well, you know, have you thought about Job? Job is a righteous man. He eschews evil. Have you thought about him at all? And so now, using his tool strategically, he baits him into the conversation. And the next thing you know, he offers Satan up. He offers Job up. Well, go on and deal with Job. Just don't take his life and don't touch his body. But everything he has, put your hand on it. But God gave him some parameters. And he had to ask for permission.
Yes, yes.
And so the Lord baited him into this conversation. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody who baited you, and then once it was over, you said, how did that happen? God is all powerful. He's brilliant, and he knows how to get people to do what he wants them to do. Is God's devil. And if we truly understood that, we wouldn't get so upset and excited about spiritual warfare. Now, don't underestimate him, because he's very, very powerful. But he has no power, more power now than he did as Lucifer. See, for some reason, we've blown this thing up in our minds, and he has as much power as God. Right. But he doesn't.
Yeah.
Because when God said, don't touch his body or his life, Satan shut his mouth and left the throne room. There was no argument, because the Creator had spoken. So now he's got a lot of power. Let's think about some things that he did. So he leaves there. The next thing you know, fire comes from heaven. So he's got some fire power. I don't have any fire power, but he's got fire power. And the fire power fell down from heaven and destroyed a house. It burned up some cattle. Then he's able to control the winds, and a big wind came along and killed some more of the servants and blew his children's house down. So he's got some kind of power. He's not a wimp. He is a strong being, but I'm only afraid of the person who doesn't have anybody who's stronger than he is, especially if that person is on my side. And so God is on your side. And so we don't have to be concerned about the devil's power. Here's another thing that you have to remember. God was trying to do something in Job. He was trying to teach people a lesson, people like us. And that's why he allowed these things to happen. But what is our role in this? Our role is to stay the course. Our role is to change our mindsets. Stop weeping and wailing and crying about things that have happened, even though the word says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. That's not an easy thing.
failing miserable. You know, we can hold out for a while, but look at Job. Job passed the first test, but then he got tired when the second test came. And so now he wants to challenge God. You're going to tell me why this is happening. Listen, didn't Satan say to the Lord, he won't serve you if you start touching his body? Well, he got kind of close to the issue because he was the issue. And this is what we do. Lord, I've been serving you. We start counting up our works. I've been serving you. I've been teaching Bible study. I pay my tithes. I pay my tithes before I pay my bills. Anytime the pastor wants me, I'm always there. So we have fallen into a works mentality. So the minute the Lord starts turning up, letting the devil turn up the heat on us, now we want to challenge God. Well, what happened to count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation? What happened to that? What happened to it? We fall into that works mentality, and that's what Job did. And then we began to demand some things of God. And even if we don't open our mouths and say it to somebody else, he sees it in our minds. And the enemy sees it in our minds. So now we got an ally. You right. You right. You right. You right. And before long, we bold and brazen with that thing. That's spiritual warfare. That's what we deal with on a daily basis. Job got to a place. He wanted to challenge God. God said, wait a minute. If you can answer these questions, because I didn't see no omni in front of your name. Yes, if you can answer these questions, then I'll answer yours. Where were you? Right. And then where were you? Uh-huh. Where does the snowflake hide? Uh-huh. And where does the donkey take its baby before it's ready to show its baby to the world? I'm waiting, Job. I'm waiting, Job. And Job said again. And then he said something else. Oops, I spoke twice, but I won't speak again. Listen, what was God doing with Job?
What was he doing?
You got to understand. You either going to serve me because you love me, or you not going to serve me at all. Even if I don't give you a dime, if I send you to the worst shelter in town, you're going to serve me. That's the condition of my relationship.
My Lord.
And I don't care if I give everybody a mansion and leave you in the shelter. Can you still love me?
Yeah.
And if you can't, because I love you and because I made a commitment to my son, I'm just going to grind you down until I make you into the person that I know you can be. Some of us are being grinded down. God will do this because he's made an investment. His son made an investment. That's like his son making a $1 trillion investment and then you just leave it alone and never go back and see anything about it. He said, I made too big of an investment in you. Not only did my son die because he loved you, but I've invested my heart in you too. And you hard-headed thing, if it takes the last breath that you have, I'm going to make sure that I perfect those things that concern you. And I'll use whatever tool I want.
You go ahead, God.
And because you no longer have the issues you used to have, now you can pay your bills on time. Your children are doing pretty well. I can't use that no more. Now I got to go deep. I got to get those hidden things. I'm going deep down in you. And I'm going to touch you where you live. You think you holy? You think you righteous? You think you don't have no covetousness in you? You think you above lying? Well, I'm going to stick the devil on you. My tool, and let him do his job. And then we're going to wring some stuff out of you. I can leave you laying there until you're on a respirator, and then the minute it's all gone, I'll build you back up. How about that?
I love it. Speak, Holy Ghost.
And see, we only know what the devil can and cannot do when we know God. Because he makes this one statement, do you trust me? Do you love me?
All right.
Then why the pallid, sad look? The devil is just doing my bidding. And see, sometimes we get beyond redeeming. It doesn't mean that we're not saved, but we're not fit to do no more work here on this planet. So God will take us on home. That was Elijah's problem. Elijah got scared, worked a mighty miracle.
Come on, yes he did.
Worked a mighty miracle. They poured water all over that wound and all of that. I mean, just bucket after bucket after bucket. And Elijah called down fire and burned it up.
All of it.
And then some evil woman sent a message to him.
Yes.
Before the sun goes down, I'm going to do the same thing to you that you did to those prophets. And so what happened? He got scared. We run scared.
My God.
We talk a big game when the sun is shining and the wind is blowing nicely.
Come on.
But the minute the hellhounds come and the hurricane come, all we got to do is have one little small person that we don't even see. He didn't even hear her say it. He heard somebody else say it. She said it. And ran scared. And so he kept running. The Lord said, now look at this. Look at this. I thought I could count on you, Elijah.
Yeah.
That miracle you worked out. Listen, for all we know, he offered Elijah. What about Elijah?
Yeah.
And then Elijah put him to shame.
Yeah.
Running, scared, hiding. So he said, well, let me just feed him. So he wrapped his cloak around himself and he mumbled and he went a long distance and the Lord fed him. And finally, when he got him to himself, he said, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be fighting. And you up here hiding. We're supposed to be fighting. And we sitting at home hiding.
Yes.
We're supposed to be fighting.
Fighting.
And we sitting applying for new jobs. We're supposed to be fighting. And we're out socializing. We're supposed to be fighting a war. And God is saying, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? How many people that should have been here that God is saying now, why are you over there when you should be here?
Come on, that's right.
What are you doing here, Elijah?
Yeah.
Why aren't you where you're supposed to be? You should be under the hands of my tool right now.
Yeah.
Working out some stuff. I'm trying to get that old mealy mouth way out of you. I'm trying to get that fear out of you. God is trying to get some fear out of us and that soft-talking, mealy mouth way. So what are you doing here? The surgery is over there. The fight is over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here waiting to see the end result and you over here hiding.
Jesus.
It's designed to win. If you go through the process, you are designed to win. He know you but dust. He know if he doesn't give you his spirit, you won't be able to do. But he has built you up with some spirit. Let me see what you gonna do with the spirit. So what are you doing over here? You should be over there. I should be hearing the report of your success. But what am I doing? I'm following you as you hide behind every rock and climb every mountain. And so when you pass, there ain't nothing left in you for warfare. God said, listen, I need you to go and find Jehu, anoint him.
Yes, come on.
Go find Elisha.
My God.
Give him your anointing.
Yes.
And wrap your
stuff up and
get ready to come on, because I can't do nothing with you anymore. You're not battle ready anymore. Are we battle ready?
Yeah.
Who, what general, a soldier who just lost his own battle to try and help somebody else? God don't operate that way.
Yes, yeah.
So yeah, he's got power. He's got power to lay sickness on us. But be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. I've given you the tools that you need. Well, how are you going to do? Are you going to take to your bed? Are you going to get up every day and say, Lord, I'm going to work my way through this. Yes. And even if you take me home, they're going to say that was the strongest, sickest woman I ever saw in my life. Yes.
Amen.
Because every time I went over to see her, she never talked about her sickness. She just talked about the goodness of the Lord. Yes. And she was always giving me an encouraging word.
Yes.
Don't let God look at you on the battlefield and say, you're not war worthy anymore. And send you on home. So why does he use Satan? He uses Satan to build us up. He uses Satan to show us some things in us that are character flaws. And until we get those character flaws fixed, he's going to keep on sending us in one battle after another. That was the problem with Peter. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, everybody else didn't even know, couldn't answer Jesus' question. Well, who do you say I am? Mm-hmm. They standing around there scratching their heads. But Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And Jesus looked at him and said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. So then we go a couple days later. And Peter, you know how we do when we get commended, we get a little pride. So Peter was full of pride. Oh my goodness, he was full of pride. He goes to the garden and this soldier comes up to arrest Jesus. He pulls out his sword and cuts his ear off. You know, he's a strong, big man. But there was a problem with it.
Yeah.
Jesus said, your weakness has been seen by Satan. And he has come to me. Listen, Satan came to Jesus and said, not only do I want to sift, but I want to sift all of them. If you look at that word for Peter and sifting, it's plural. He wanted to sift them all. That's why Jesus said, listen, Peter, I need to let you know that Satan has come to me and asked specifically for you. He wants to work you over. Jesus said he wants to sift you like wheat. And what that means, he just wants to shake you until he overthrows you and you become another Elijah. But guess what?
Yes.
What would we have said? The pastor talked about it this morning. We gonna bind that devil up. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Well, guess what? Stop getting in God's way.
Yes.
Do you think he's going to let your rote memorization of his word interfere with what he's doing in one of his saints' lives?
My Lord. Okay.
So what did the pastor say? She said, you better pray and ask God, what should I be doing about this situation? Jesus knew that some things had to be taken out of Peter, his pride, his self-confidence. He had to whittle that down. That's all right for the world, but it's not all right for the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
So the Lord said, I need to get rid of this. So let me, tool, I'll let you think it's your idea, but I'll manipulate you until you come.
That's good.
And ask for Peter.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to let you have Peter, because I know where I'm sending Peter, Peter can't go the way he is. Many of us can't go and do the work God has for us to do the way we are.
Yes.
We're still liars.
My God.
We're still secret thieves.
My Lord.
Sometimes if ain't nobody looking, you know what we do when we go to those hotels? And as saints, we can justify that. Well, you know I paid for the soap. It, it, it's part of the cost of the room. We do it. So God knows that that stuff's got to be fixed. So he uses the devil. Let him come in. Turn the fire up on you. See, sometimes for a child, if a mother is too lenient, it takes the father to come in there and wear him out. Sometimes just the sound of his voice is enough to have them shaking in their boots. So Satan, no, he's good at shaking folk up. If you won't serve me and if you won't hear, and listen, every time the Lord comes and sends us over to Satan for wearing out, he's already tried to get us straight.
That's right.
Through the word, prophets come, preachers come, mama and daddy come, everybody, the police come, and we still won't hear. So you sin. See, he don't care nothing about you. He's trying to still kill and destroy everything you have. But there are parameters. The Lord said, but don't take his life. Sift her, but don't take his life. And listen, even when they die, have you noticed that those that die in the Lord, even if death is imminent, the last time you see them, they just as beautiful and pretty as they ever were? That's because he didn't kill them. God took them home.
That's right.
And gave them some respite before he took them home. So he said, Peter, Satan designs to sift you. And what did Peter say?
Closets.
ask the Lord what's going on.
Yeah.
Because when you get there and you're worshiping him in spirit and truth there, and he exposes you, you stay there naked before him. You have to say, as David said, you are justified. Every bone that you broke, because I did this to when you told me. So spiritual warfare is real. But the question is, how are you going to deal with it? Are you going to say, the devil is always messing with me? Or are you going to say, the devil is messing with me because I haven't fessed up to God? Usually that's the case. God's been trying to do this in me for a while. I've turned a blind eye. How can I preach it? Because I lived it and am living it. So let's stop being afraid of the boogeyman. Let's understand his purpose. Yeah. And see, there's some who refuse to come out of darkness into God's marvelous light. So he turns them over to Satan. That's why the word says, it talks about the different soils. And it says some hear the word, but then the bird who is the devil comes and snatches it away. We know too much to stay in this loop. Let's open up our eyes and see what's really happening. And I'll finish with this. As the pastor said, stay out of Satan's business when he's whipping somebody back into shape for God. And listen, thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, back in medieval times, when the king or somebody locked somebody up and put them in the dungeon, there was a special man who had on leather and he had a hat on it, a mask on his face, and he had these whips and he did the beating and the rotting. Yeah. That's all Satan is doing. Working for the king even though he don't like the king, but forced to work for the king.
Mm-hmm.
No choice. God's got this. God's in control.
Yes.
And just think about it. All that Satan did to get free from God, he only got more entangled with God. And so he's serving. He's trying to keep a smile on his face. But at the end of the day, when he sees all the good that comes out of it, he realized, I've been manipulated again.
My Lord.
And then at the end of the day, even though you did the work, you're still going to go to the lake of fire. So understand who he is. Stop being afraid of him. Stop whining. Seek God's face. And up like a good soldier. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier. If you deserve to be in the brig, then take it like a man.
My Lord.
Until you served your time. And then when you come out, unlike a prisoner who gets nothing when he comes out, but maybe an old moldy suit, when you come out, you're going to have some character. When you come out, you won't take the same path that you used to take.
That's right.
When you come out, you'll be able to explain to somebody else, this is what's happening to you. And trust me, you need to go and fess up with God. And get back in right relationship with him. And understand that even if you do nothing wrong, because God's got better plans for you, you'll still find your hand, your back under the devil's whip every now and then. But count it all joy.
Count it all joy.
And endure hardness as a good soldier. Please stand.
My.
If you let it penetrate your heart, stand where you are. The pastor was correct. Word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. This hand on your forehead is not. Word said, Jesus said, the Bible says, and he sent the word and healed them. The word has gone forth. If we apply it and let it penetrate our hearts, it will begin to heal us. We leave here today with a better understanding of spiritual warfare than we have ever had before.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And we leave here today never ever again to give Satan credit for doing God's bidding. Because Because he did it for one reason. But the Lord said, I said, whip him, not kill him. So he stayed his hand. You won't kill, steal, and destroy this one. Because I've come and I've allowed you to participate in this that they might have life and that much more abundantly. So it stops today. The belly aching, the confusion stops today. Understand, we've done this long enough. A dawning of a new day. So, Father God, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord, we come repenting right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we've not done what we should have done, and we've collected knowledge, but we've never come to the knowledge of the truth. And I'm sure in glory you saw the light bulbs coming on this morning. As you look down, and we begin to understand some things about spiritual warfare. Understanding, God, that you are the creator God. Nothing takes you by surprise. You know what everybody, every spirit being is going to do. You are the one, God, that allows principalities and authorities and rulers and darkness and wickedness. You allow all of that to happen because you're working a big plan. For some, God, you're purifying. For some, you're chastising because they've been disobedient. For others, God, that's their recompense because they refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if they won't accept him, then they'll accept everything that comes out of the kingdom of darkness. So God, we ask your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus. Help us, God, to have that kind of relationship with you so that Satan can't toss us to and fro. Amen. And amen. So that we will understand why this thing is happening. And if you decide not to tell us, then we will trust you.
Amen.
And we will be at peace. Job said, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. God, we want to get there. We want you, as was asked this morning, can you offer us something? Have you considered my servant? Well, God, would we put you to shame? Father, have mercy. Touch our hearts, God. Penetrate our hearts. Take these old stony hearts and turn them into hearts of flesh. Make us self-aware. Help us to stop lying to ourselves about some things, God. Do it for your glory, God. Let us go to the book. Let us go to the manual, God. We've got every kind of example there that we need. And God, we see that as you allowed Peter to go through the crucible that Satan had for him, you didn't leave him out there broken. But before you went back to glory, you met him and you had a conversation with him. And then God, on the day of Pentecost, this man who was so full of himself was now a man full of you. And this man who was scared to be seen and known that he was one of your followers, boldly proclaimed to the same people that he was frightened of. He boldly proclaimed you to them, regardless of the consequences. And God, because of that, thousands of souls were saved that day. So we thank you. We bless you. We thank you for your care and your love of us and the things that you've put in place for us. Now we need you to to send us from this place to go and serve and to go and be soldiers that endure hardness as a good soldier, who don't get ourselves entangled in the things of this world, whose commander in chief can look at us and say, have you considered my soldier? So God, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. You do the work. God, if we don't meet you and allow you to do the work in our hearts, then all we're going to do is just put another rubber band-aid on it, and then we'll be back here next year having failed yet again. But God, get us out of the loop, we beseech you, by your mercy. And plant our feet on solid ground so that we who have more information about you than any other generation before us will strategically use this information that you would get the glory out of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Powerful word. Yeah. Amen. How many have enjoyed it today?
Yeah.
Amen.